The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, See how he loved him? But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there's a stench because he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to him, Unbind him and let him go. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Feast of All Saints gives us the ability not to just give thanks for the saints that have died in the past year, for all those that we've lost on the way. It also allows ourselves another time to intentionally grieve and mourn. This is one of those instances when some critics of religion and our faith see what we do as nothing more than an attempt to numb ourselves from reality. But while this day is an affirmation of hope that we have in Christ over death, we also sit with the sting of death. We don't avoid it. And I make this similar point on Ash Wednesday. We are honest about the reality of death. We don't shy away from it. It's our culture, on the other hand, that is terrified of death, does not want any time to reflect on death, doesn't want to think about it at all. Our culture is in denial, and when confronted with death, makes very little space for people to grieve. We are pressured in our society to get on with our lives as soon as possible, primarily because it makes so many people uncomfortable. But John chapter 11 that we just heard invites us not to avoid the pain of death, but to sit with it. We hear Mary coming to Jesus and saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And earlier in chapter 11, Mary's sister Martha says essentially the same thing. Both of them feel abandoned. They feel betrayed. They feel that God was not with them in their brother's time of need. I think we can relate to that feeling, can't we? Have we offered a similar lament when watching a loved one dying? Or when somebody was taken from us suddenly and tragically? Wondering where God was in the dying process? Or what God could have done to spare them? There's also not just the inevitability of death that we come to terms with. It's also the randomness and the unfairness of it all. It could be a car accident, it could be cancer, it could be COVID, it could be a host of many things. But we're left wondering why. And like Mary and Martha, we take our frustrations to God, who seems absent. Now, earlier in chapter 11, Jesus tries to assure Martha that her brother would rise again. And we too may hear the good news and hope of the resurrection, but at the same time, we're still dealing with the loss of a loved one. Our grief is trying to process this loss, trying to figure out, what is my life now with this void, with them no longer being here, with this absence? So as people of faith, it's important to be reminded that when walking with people through their grief as followers of Christ, we are to be a people of hope. But that doesn't mean that death has to have a silver lining. There are things that are just simply not helpful for a grieving person to hear. Saying that God needed another angel is neither helpful nor biblical. First, we're saints. We don't become angels. Saying that God needed them, as if God would snatch them away. I mean, it's what is he, running a restaurant up there? That he would need somebody just to take them from us? Doesn't make sense. Jesus weeping at the tomb of Lazarus is a testament to the fact that God grieves death with us. God in our flesh knows our grief, and that should be comforting. For our God in Jesus Christ chooses to suffer with us, and in choosing to suffer with us, knows that pain of loss, knows what we're enduring in these times of mourning. The good news is that God is not absent. And when we face death, we know that God will be there with us, promising to never let us go. Our faith gives us hope that when we die, God receives us. See, that's different than just God randomly taking us, because God is not a God of death. God is a God of life. God does not like death, which is why Jesus Christ gives us life in abundance, life without end. God receives us, promising to never let us go. Our bodies will fail us. They will eventually fail all of us. But God does not fail us. Because in Christ we have hope that death is not the end, and that death will not separate us from God. And though we cling to that hope and that promise, it might be hard to hear and rejoice as we grieve, mourn, and cope. If you notice in our lesson, the gospel lesson for today, there are no silver linings being thrown out to Mary and Martha and all those that come to console them and join them in their grief. It is not this scene and the raising of Lazarus that gives us hope in the end. It is the cross and the empty tomb. It is that event that gives us hope, that assures us that the evil and sting of death is destroyed, that we are reconciled to God, and in Christ there's a promise of a new heaven and a new earth where God will dwell with us, where God will wipe away our tears, and death will be no more. For our God has chosen to abide with us, to suffer with us, to die for us, and in that dying, Christ has overcome sin, death, and all evil. There is comfort in knowing that our pain, that our suffering, and that death does not have the last word. But God's promise of comfort and new life will endure. Now, critics and skeptics will still claim that this hope that we have in Christ numbs us from reality. But we are not running away from the reality of death in this world. And as the church, we're called to lean into it. Which is why we should avoid offering platitudes and trying to sugarcoat death. Because that's trying to deflect. That's trying to escape the reality of the situation. But let us be like Christ, who chooses to enter in to the suffering of this world while also maintaining the hope and the promise that we have in the midst of the sting of the grief that we're feeling. centered in the promises of Christ and rejoicing in the cross and empty tomb, there is a different kind of freedom in the life of the Christian. Our culture seeks to deflect and avoid that reality of death. Some, they just want to eat, drink, and be merry. Others don't want to think about it. They don't want to talk about it. And if they could avoid it and evade it, they will for as long as they can. But whether we live or whether we die, we know that we belong to the Lord. And that faith gives us the ability as the body of Christ to walk with people, to not deflect, to hear their pain, to sit with them in their sadness. And sometimes that's not offering a word. It's just being present with them, reminding them that they're not alone, supporting them along the way, knowing that they have someone to lean on. That's what being Christ-like in the midst of this means. I mean, we all go about the world. You know that people are lonely in their grief. People are lonely in their suffering. And as if the body of Christ, we could go out and remind people that they're not alone, that they have someone to lean on, to open up to. That in itself is a testament to God's presence in their midst. Our culture's unwillingness to face death existed even before the pandemic. Now, we've lost at least 5 million around the world, with 750,000 in this country alone. So in a culture that has avoided the reality of death even before a global pandemic, I can't imagine the loneliness that people are feeling now, trying to comprehend what this means and how it could be too much to bear. There are Marys and Marthas in our midst feeling neglected and abandoned. Not everyone has the same support system. Some have no support system at all. And as the church, we're called not to neglect them, but to console, to heal, and to offer a word of hope. For new and eternal life is underway. In holy baptism, we are buried with Christ. And that stone that prevents us from facing mortality and death in the world, in holy baptism, God has moved that away. It no longer prevents us from sitting with people and walking with people and entering the darkness of this world. We can be a joyful people, but like God, we can also grieve loss of life in the world. For in Christ, God has unbound us and let us go, freed us to love and serve our neighbor. The mission of the church isn't just to cheer up people, but it's to provide a space for healing and consolation. The mission of the church is to assure people that they are not alone. The mission of the church is to let them know that God loves them. The mission of the church is to proclaim in word and deed the good news of Jesus Christ, that death does not have the final word. Beloved children of God, we are a people of hope. We are an Easter people in a Good Friday world. Go out into those spaces and places where people are grieving, mourning, and feeling alone and abandoned. Let us give thanks for the saints in our midst and give thanks for the saints that have gone before us, those that show us how to follow the way of Jesus. Let us give thanks for that whole communion of saints. And let us go out there in the world inviting those who suffer into a home and a place and a space where they can be open and honest and find healing and consolation with the communion of saints of every time and every place. Let us be the presence of God in our dark and broken world. Let us show them the light of Christ in the midst of darkness. Thanks be to God. Amen.